So the leader of the Islamic State, Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who is an Islamic cleric, spoke of conspiracies of the Jews, the Christians, and the Shiites. Conspiracies, yes, conspiracies. It couldn't be truth. No, people couldn't be angry at the Islamic State because they're raping women, because they're beheading people, because they are proclaiming in true Islamic fashion, convert or die. They couldn't be angry at the Islamic State because their economy is based upon thievery. It couldn't be because they're ruthless terrorists. No, it couldn't be because those are all pure Islamic behaviors. So it couldn't be for any of those reasons. It must be a conspiracy. Now, the fact is that the Jews haven't participated at all. They haven't lifted a finger. They haven't attacked the Islamic State. They haven't even besmirched the Islamic State. Having said very little about them. And yet, the first group on the list is the conspiracy of the Jews. The Islamic State also, recognizing that it is a good Islamic organization, put everything in the context of religion. Jews, Christians, it didn't say the United States did it. It didn't say Europe did it. No, Christians. Now, these folks are way too stupid to know that Pauline Christianity and Islam have a lot in common. That Paul, like Muhammad, was inspired by the same demonic spirit. They don't know that America isn't and has never been a Christian nation. But so long as they keep things in a religious context, it makes it easier for them to deploy their propaganda and to recruit jihadists from around the world. So truth doesn't matter. We're just going to spew out the lie because that's what religious clerics do. And then, of course, Shiites. The third on the list, but the only actual enemy now of the Islamic State. Yes, Christians were an enemy. Jews would be, but there aren't any Jews in Iraq or Syria. They've long since been annihilated by the intolerant Muslims, which makes it unbelievably stupid that the world is trying to promote an integration of Muslims into Israel because they'll take exactly the same stand and they will annihilate the Jews in the only country that is a Jewish country. So there are no Jews for them to attack and kill. They have attacked, killed, and exiled every Christian. So the Christians are no more enemies than the man in the moon, leaving them with only one foe, the Shias. So why would America get involved to thwart the Islamic States as a Sunni organization war against Shias? No good answer to that, so I'm not going to even try to present one. As well as, he says, the tyrannical regimes in Muslim countries. What is he referring to there? You see, 80% of Muslims are Sunni Muslims. 80% of Islamic countries have a Sunni Muslim dictator. And as was the case with, and has been the case with virtually all Islamic terrorist organizations, as well as the Muslim Brotherhood from which they have sprung, they all view the heads of state in the Sunni Muslim countries as being tyrannical regimes. And they're right. They viewed Saddam Hussein as a tyrannical dictator. The Islamic fundamentalists wanted him gone, both Sunni and Shia. In the sense that they viewed that the fundamentalists, anyway, viewed that a fundamentalist Islamist would be a more Allah-centered leader. And so these organizations like the Islamic State, who has been a ploy of Saudi Arabia, for example, to thwart the expansion of Shia Islam is also a foe of the Saudi Arabians because the thugs that control Saudi Arabia, as this was their own private estate, are not sufficiently Islamic for their taste. So they're in opposition to the emirs in Kuwait, the warlords that ruin and run Saudi Arabia, as well as every other Islamic dictator. So they're even opposed to the, of course, the tyrannical regimes that would have a Shia influence in particular, which would be, they're opposed to the Assad regime, they're opposed to the Ayatollah's regime in Iran. And they say that and the Muslim countries that have been powerless to make the Islamic State deviate from its path. Now, its path is the path of Allah, the cause of Allah, the way of Allah. That's all they care about. The President of the United States knowingly lied when he said the Islamic State wasn't Islamic. He declared in his radio recording that was released all of these things demeaning the Christians and the Shiites, calling them ignorant. And worse, kafir, which means an individual that has no rights, no dignity, no ability, nothing. It's the Islamic version of the N-word, except it isn't racist, but religious. Quote, the entire world saw the powerlessness of America and its allies before a group of Islamic believers, he said. People now realize that victory is from Allah and that it shall not be aborted by armies and their arsenals. Well, Allah exists as Satan. Allah is Satan. He has some influence, but his influence is only to mess with people's minds and souls. He has certainly messed with Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's. But the fact is, he's right in this regard. Armies and arsenals are never effective against a religious foe. It makes the situation worse. Many at the rally in Baghdad say that they welcomed airstrikes against Mr. Baghdadi's. It isn't Mr. Baghdadi. He is Mr. Ibrahim's Islamic State. Al-Baghdadi is a nickname. But not American ground forces, the position that Mr. Sadr has taken. Many of the 30 lawmakers backed by Mr. Sadr out of a parliament of 328 seats attended the rally. The rest of them were backed by the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani. Mr. Sadr's supporters opposed Mr. Malaki, the former prime minister, and many at the rally were quick to criticize the former government for mistakes like failing to build a more dependable Shia army. He said, you know, we were supposed to have a good army, but where is it now? Malaki gave them everything, but they just left the battlefield. But few, if any, blamed Mr. Malaki for alienating the Sunnis. Why? Because the Shias hate the Sunnis as much as the Sunnis hate the Shias. American officials want to blame Malaki for doing so, but that is not the Shia position. By permitting sectarian abuses under the Shiite-dominated security forces, he did, however, inflame the Sunnis against the Shia. Former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta is another one of the babbling goons that were formerly empowered in the United States that want to say, oh boy, if I was in charge, things would have been different. And almost all of them are taking the line that we would have been better off had we provided more weapons sooner to the Mujahideen fighting Assad in Syria. However, the Islamic State was the second largest group of Mujahideen fighting Assad in Syria, and we did arm them. And the only other alternative was al-Nusra, which is 90% as fundamentalist as is the Islamic State. The only difference between al-Nusra and the Islamic State is al-Nusra was conceived entirely out of the proxy war against Shia Islam in Syria, even though its recruits came from all around the world. But it was born out of the animosity towards Shiite Islam by Sunni regimes like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Kuwait, where the Islamic State was armed there, but was born out of resistance to Shia Muslims in Iraq and Americans in Iraq, and then rose to power when it was merged with the Awakening Program. So the dominant institution that America could have armed back in the day was al-Nusra. But al-Nusra wouldn't pretend to favor democracy. They wouldn't even give lip service to inclusion. They were the first to terrorize the Christians. Surrender, submit, convert, or die. They were the first to use terror tactics in that war. They were the first to say, no, we won't participate in any conference where the goal is democracy. And there has never been a free Syrian army, not in Syria anyway. There's been lots of politicos and opportunists outside of Syria that are willing to scam a buck, scam a gun on behalf of the ruse, but it doesn't actually exist. But nonetheless, former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta said that he believes the Islamic State terrorist group was able to flourish in part because the United States entered the conflict in Syria too late. Oh boy, they would have been unable to amass their weapons if we had provided weapons sooner. If we had provided more weapons, they would somehow have less weapons. Yes, you are a smart fellow, Mr. Panetta, saying the Obama administration should have armed the country's moderate rebels earlier. Go to hell, pal. There are no moderate rebels. What an idiot who is promoting this same absolute mythology. And it, you know, people want to believe in mythology. You know, I don't give a rat's hoot. And it just doesn't bother me at all. If you want to be a Christian, so long as you don't impose your religion on anyone or promote your religion in public, I don't care. You know, you want to believe in the myth of the Trinity, have at it. Your choice. You want to engage in, you know, there's 300,000 morons marching in New York for climate change, or maybe against climate change. Can you imagine what the Earth would be like without climate change? But you've got 300,000 zealots who are secular, humanists, socialists, marching in New York. Why? Not because they think that the sky is falling, not because they think that there's man-made global warming. They know there's no man-made global warming. But they like the power that climate change gives them to control people, to take from those who are productive and distribute those funds among folks like themselves who are not productive, who are leeches. And so, but you want to do that? And you want to be one of those people screaming their head off saying, I'm an idiot. Go ahead. Don't care. You want to believe that there is a moderate Muslim rebel? Have at it. You know, I don't care if you're ignorant. Most people are. It's a big world out there. You want to be a moron? You want to be dumb as a stone? Be dumb as a stone. No skin off my nose. I'd prefer you not vote. Prefer you not operate a complicated piece of equipment in proximity of others. Prefer you not drink to dumb down what few neurons you actually have that are firing? But if you want to believe in the myth of a moderate Muslim rebel, have at it. Unless you take to the airwaves, unless you're in a position of power and can impose your stupidity on others, then I care about it. So, Leon Panetta, you could have just been your little old Napoleon self out there loving life. But no, you had to go pretend like you had a better idea that arming mythical people would have brought peace. Now, first of all, weapons don't bring peace. America has the largest military in the world, and we're at war with everybody. I mean, we're threatening the Chinese, we're threatening the Russians, we're threatening the Syrians, we're threatening those who are threatening the Syrians, we're threatening the Iraqis, we're threatening the Iranians, we're bombing the Pakistanis, we're bombing in Afghanistan, we're bombing in Yemen, we're hated throughout South America. I mean, come on. We got a mess going everywhere. If weapons brought peace, that wouldn't be the case. But the fact is that arming religious zealots never leads to peace. And there is no such thing as a moderate who is willing to fight and sacrifice his or her life for the cause. If they're willing to pick up a gun and to go kill government forces on behalf of those who wish to establish an Islamic caliphate, as do all of the Muslims fighting in Syria, they're not moderates. The Quran is really clear. Read the ninth surah, Leon, you're literate. Before you open your mouth and tripped on your tongue, read the ninth surah. What does it say about moderate Muslims who are unwilling to engage in jihad to enforce all people all over the world to accept Allah as God and Muhammad as his prophet? It says they're hypocrites. It says they cease to be Muslims. It tells good Muslims to kill them because Allah wants to torture those that you wish to arm, these mythical moderates in hell. Panetta, you're an idiot. All the Republicans and Democrats who voted for sending more American arms to Syria, to a mythical group of people known as moderate Muslims, you're morons. What is it about us? I mean, haven't we learned anything over the last 15 years? Haven't we learned anything? Well, obviously the answer to that question is no. And those who made a mess of things before are now telling us, no, it wasn't my fault. This is what I would have done. Old Leon Panetta served in the Obama nation from July of 2011 to February of 2013. And yet the Syrian civil war had begun by that point. And he could have done what he said he wanted to do, but evidently didn't. He told CBS's 60 Minutes that he was in support of arming the moderate Syrian rebels all way back in 2012, along with other members of the administration. 2012. Arm those suckers. Yeah, that would have brought us peace. The more arms we brought to bear in Syria, the sooner the Islamic State would have crossed the border back into Iraq, unified with the Awakening Program, and become the menace that they are today. All that Panetta would have accomplished is make the present situation occur sooner and be more desperate. I think that would have helped. Yeah, nothing says peace with a terrorist than a weapon. And I think in part we pay the price for not doing that and what we are seeing happening with ISIS, end quote. What he's really saying is that we failed. We created the Islamic State, and we all know it. We know what the Iraqis are saying is true. That we created the Islamic State, we armed the Islamic State, we armed the Awakening Program, we created this mess. And so, knowing that, the next election cycle, there's going to be a lot of pushback against abomination. And so what Leon is actually saying is that he's plowing the ground for Hillary Rotten Clinton. Because that's going to be her mantra. Ah, you know, I was with Leon, and Leon and I, we wanted to arm those moderate rebels, and we wouldn't be in this situation now. Now, they didn't exist then. They don't exist now. But truth has never been popular in politics. Perceptions are all that matter in politics. And so he's creating a revisionist history for the purpose of making it possible for rotten to prevail with the uninspired and unenlightened electorate in America, to pretend that she has a different strategy than did the Obaminator. And, of course, 60 Minutes just laps it up. According to CBS News, Panetta writes in his new book, Worthy Fights. Oh, Worthy Fights. Yeah, okay. You know, I guess. Worthy Fights. There are no worthy fights. Aren't any. You lose every battle you engage in. There is no worthy fight. That he, then Secretary, and then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the director of the CIA, and the Joint Chiefs Chairman all urged the Obaminator to arm the rebels at that 2012 meeting. I told you. I had not read this article prior to presenting it to you. But I told you that what he was doing was acting as a political landscape changer on behalf of Hillary Rotten Clinton. That's precisely what he's just admitted he's doing. But his audience that he's playing to, way too political to be bothered with evidence and reason. And the other side is way too distracted with all manner of things to figure it out. And besides, the other side actually loves weapons. They think that, they're hawks after all. The real key, this is a quote, was how can we develop a leadership group among the opposition that would be able to take control? You tried. It was impossible. That was the key. For you to realize that what you were attempting to do was impossible. That's why you did not achieve it. There was no leadership group among the opposition that took control of anything. Not once, not ever, and you tried, Leon. You failed because the mission was a lose-lose scenario, impossible. And my view was to have leverage to do that. We would have to provide the weapons and the training in order for them to really be willing to work with us in that effort. Them who? Who are you going to train? Who are you going to arm? Who is going to be in control? If they were moderates, they weren't engaged in the rebellion. If they were moderates, they were on the side of Assad because Assad protected the moderates against the fundamentalists. 100% of those who would deem themselves to be religiously moderate were rooting for Assad, knowing that if Assad fell, they would be as good as dead. There weren't any moderate Muslims engaged in the fight against Assad. They would have been engaged on behalf of Assad. And you just don't understand Islam. You don't understand history. But yet, they repeat these lies so often that there is a genuine willingness of Americans to lap it up as if the arsenic was laced with Kool-Aid. However, Obama
rejected their idea.
See, you have to. Obama's lame duck. He's yesterday's news. So you've got to push him aside. You realize that most Americans despise him. Yeah, there's still some idiots that I see driving around with their Obaminator bumper sticker, unable to figure out that they were played for fools. But the fact of the matter is he's yesterday's news. So the Democratic goal is to change the landscape, change history, to pave the way for Hillary Rotten Clinton. That's what's happening here.
I think the president's concern, and I understand it, was that he had a fear that if we started providing weapons, we wouldn't know where those weapons would wind up. Panetta said, my view was, you've got to begin somewhere.
This is the idiocy of America. And I'm using moron, idiocy, nincompoop throughout this program because, quite frankly, the terms all fit. You don't like them? Tough. I don't care. They fit. The reality is that Americans always think that you have to do something. Always have to do something. Oh, Islamic State, bad boys, got to do something. Saddam Hussein, bad guy, got to do something. Vietnam, domino theory, better stop it, better do something. China, influencing Korea, better do something. Always got to do something. Hey, there's some protesters in Kiev against the popular electric government. Better do something. Maybe we can start a war there. We're going to go spy on the Chinese. So to keep the Chinese from successfully spying on us, we ought to accuse them of spying on us while we're spying on them. Better do something. We don't like the fact that Putin didn't roll over and play dead when we were trying to bribe the Ukrainians of joining NATO. Better do something. '9/11 was perpetrated based on a plan that was conceived by Ramzi Youssef that was already in prison from the first World Trade Center bombing. But no, America, we needed to go do something. So let's go invade Afghanistan. This notion that America needs to do something is what caused us to sacrifice 300,000 lives for the 3,000 we lost in Pearl Harbor. Just got to do something. It's presented as if it's rational, as if it's logical, as if it's moral. My response to the realization that we would have no idea where those weapons were going once we provided the weapons was, well, we have to do something. You got to start somewhere. Can you imagine how unbelievably irrational that is? How pathetically insane that statement is. And that was the argument that was promoted to the President of the United States by his Secretary of State and his Secretary of Defense. We have no idea where those weapons will go, but you got to start somewhere. That's our mistake. When you confront a problem, the first thing you ought to think about, and this is one of the places where the only place I can imagine that I actually have a disagreement with our regular Friday guest, IQ Al-Rasuli. Now, IQ Al-Rasuli doesn't want to talk about how we got into the mess in his country, in Iraq, or in Syria, or throughout the Middle East. He wants to talk about, what do you do now? But I'm here to tell you that unless you talk about how you got yourself into this fix, how you actually created the mess, how you contributed to the problem that you're facing, you have no chance of successfully resolving the issue. And that's the case with Islam. And if you don't go back to the basics to understand who they are, how they were able to rise out of the black, oozing sand of the Middle East, to lash out and terrorize the world, and what their goals are and how we have played into their hands, unless you understand the history of this and the motivations of those who are sacrificing their lives to be part of it, you have no chance whatsoever of prevailing. And that's the problem with the Obaminator. It's the problem with Leon Panetta. It's the problem with Hillary Rotten Clinton. They've actually aided and abetted fundamentalist Islam and Islamic terrorism because they, rather than identifying the problem, communicating the nature of the problem, they've tried to disassociate Islam from the problem. The war in Syria is a proxy war. That's all it is. It's not a civil war. It's not a political war. You can have rebels in a political war. This is not a political war. It's a proxy religious war. It is a war between Sunni and Shia Islamic influence. It is being waged because America changed the balance of power in that area by the stupid invasion of Iraq and giving Iraq to Iran and turning Iraq into a Shia country. That's what happened. The big Leon, little Leon, also discussed the war in Iraq. Now, by the way, Leon, I'm whispering here so that maybe you get a clue. Don't embarrass yourself anymore. The war in Iraq, the war in Syria, the same war. Yeah. But he wants to separate the war in Iraq, saying that when the U.S. withdrew from the country in 2011, you know, after being there a decade, he was not confident that pulling out was the right decision. Now, he didn't say that. So all he's telling you is that I wasn't confident. I really thought, but I kept it to myself, that it was important for us to maintain a presence in Iraq, even though he said the opposite. The decision was that we ought to at least try to maintain 8,000 to 10,000 U.S. troops there. For what? Where are they going to hang? You know, the last 2 or 3 years they were there, they never went outside of their little bases. All jumbled down in the heat, living in tents and Quonset huts. Why? Because they went out, they were killed. Why? Because the Iraqis didn't want them. Why would we invade a country that doesn't want us? Why would you invade a country that when you step outside of your camp, most everybody is trying to kill you because they despise you? And after you learn that you've made a fundamental mistake, that you invaded a country where everybody in that country wants you dead, that your plan is to stay longer? You know, it's kind of like fish and visitors in a home. After a few days, you stink. You need to leave. We stayed there 10 years. 11 years wasn't going to make it better. And also keeping some of our intelligence personnel in place. What good God is he talking about? We have 5,000 staff that is part of the embassy in Baghdad. 5,000. They're all associated with the same institution, the integration of the U.S. State Department, CIA, and military. 5,000 of them. And then on top of that, we just sent in another 1,000, all to be intelligence officers. We don't have any intelligence personnel. That's part of the problem. We've dumbed Americans down to the point they can no longer think. And the dumbest go to work for the government, whether it be in the military or the CIA. And he says, was to continue the momentum in the right direction. Momentum in the right direction. We invaded Iraq when Iraq was at peace. It's true. Terrorism in Iraq was essentially non-existent. We broke the country. We inflamed not one but two civil wars between Sunnis and Shias. We cause terrorism to occur there in grandiose explosions of life. We made an absolute mess of the place. And we left there because the Iraqis would not any longer tolerate us. We had no sponsor. The Sunnis didn't want us. The Shias didn't want us. Nobody wanted us there. We were booted out of Iraq. That's why we left. Why don't you deal with history as it really was? The Iraqis were no longer willing to give the American troops a pass to allow them to be savages and then go back to be judged by fellow savages in America. They were no longer interested in America using its war machine to antagonize Iraqis and break the country. They were tired of us. They wanted us gone. That's why we left. We broke the country and then left. And the moment we broke that country, what we're experiencing today was inevitable. The result that we're witnessing today was inevitable the moment the first American set foot in Iraq. That's the problem. It wasn't staying in Iraq. It was invading Iraq. We have no place in a proxy war between religious factions of Islam. We can't prevail. You can't make a bad situation better. When you favor Shias against Sunnis or Sunnis against Shias, the only thing we can do is to leave them to their own devices.